Chapter 15, Labors in Western New York in 1848. As a result of his work in the hayfield, my husband earned $40. With a part of this, we purchased some necessary clothing and had sufficient means left to take us to Western New York and return. My health was poor, and it was impossible for me to travel and have the care of our child. So we left our little Henry, 10 months old, at Middletown with Sister Clarissa Bonfoy. It was a severe trial for me to be separated from my child, but we dared not let our affection for him keep us from the path of duty. Jesus laid down his life to save us. How small is any sacrifice we can make compared with his? On the morning of July 13, we reached New York City and went to the home of Brother D. Moody. On the following day, Brethren Bates and Gurney joined us. Conference at Volney. Our first general meeting in Western New York began August 18, was held at Volney in Brother David Arnold's barn. About 35 were present, all the friends that could be collected in that part of the state. But of this number, there were hardly two agreed. Some were holding serious errors, and each strenuously urged his own views, declaring that they were according to the Scriptures. One brother held that the 1,000 years of the 20th chapter of Revelation were in the past, and that the 144,000 mentioned in the 7th and 14th chapters of Revelation were those raised at Christ's resurrection. As we had before us the emblems of our dying Lord and were about to commemorate his sufferings, this brother arose and said that he had no faith in what we were about to do, that the Lord's Supper was a continuation of the Passover and should be partaken of but once a year. These strange differences of opinion rolled a heavy weight upon me. I saw that many errors were being presented as truth. It seemed to me that God was dishonored. Great grief pressed upon my spirits, and I fainted under the burden. Some feared I was dying. Brethren Bates, Chamberlain, Gurney, and Edson, and my husband prayed for me. The Lord heard the prayers of his servants, and I revived. The light of heaven then rested upon me, and I was soon lost to earthly things. My accompanying angel presented before me some of the errors of those present and also the truth in contrast with their errors. These discordant views, which they claimed were in harmony with the Scripture, were only according to their opinions of Bible teaching, and I was bidden to tell them that they should yield their errors and unite with the truths of the third angel's message. Our meeting closed triumphantly. Truth gained the victory. Our brethren renounced their errors and united upon the third angel's message, and God greatly blessed them and added many to their numbers. Visit to Brother Snow's, Hannibal. From Volney we journeyed toward Port Gibson, 60 miles distant, to meet another appointment, August 27, 20, and 28. On our way, wrote my husband in a letter to Brother Hastings, dated August 26. We stopped at Brother Snow's at Hannibal. In that place are 8 or 10 precious souls. Brother Bates, Brother and Sister Edson, and Brother Simmons stopped all night with them. In the morning, Ellen was taken off in vision, and while she was in vision, all the brethren came in. One of the number was not with us on the Sabbath truth, but was humble and good. Ellen rose up in vision, took the large Bible, held it up before the Lord, talked from it, then carried it to this humble brother and put it in his arms. He took it while tears were rolling down his bosom. Then Ellen came and sat down by me. She was in vision 1.5 hours, in which time she did not breathe at all. It was an affecting time. All wept much for joy. We left Brother Bates with them and came to this place with Elder Edson, with Brother Edson. Meeting at Port Gibson. The meeting at Port Gibson was held in Brother Hiram Edson's barn. There were those present who loved the truth but were listening to and cherishing error. Before the close of this meeting, however, the Lord wrought with us with power. I was again shown in vision the importance of the brethren laying aside their differences and uniting upon Bible truth. Visit to Brother Harris's, Centerport. We left Brother Edson intending to spend the following Sabbath in New York City. We were too late for the packet, so we took a line boat designing to change when the next packet came along. As we saw the packet approaching, we began making preparations to step aboard, but the packet did not stop, and we had to spring on board while the boat was in motion. Brother Bates was holding the money for our fare in his hands, saying to the captain of the boat, "Here, take your pay." As he saw the boat moving off, he sprang to get aboard, but his foot struck the edge of the boat and he fell back into the water. He then began swimming to the boat with his pocketbook in one hand and a dollar bill in the other. His hat fell off, and in saving it he lost the bill but held fast to his pocketbook. The packet halted for him to get aboard. His clothes were wet with the dirty water of the canal. And as we came near Centerport, we decided to call at the home of Brother Harris, that Brother Bates might put his clothes in order. Our visit proved a benefit to his family. For years, Sister Harris had suffered from catarrh. She had used snuff for the relief of this affliction and said that she could not live without it. She suffered much pain in her head. We recommended her to go to the Lord, the great physician who would heal her affliction. She decided to do so, and we had a season of prayer for her. She discontinued the use of snuff entirely. Her difficulties were greatly relieved, and from that time her health was better than it had been for years. While at Brother Harris's, I had an interview with a sister who wore gold and yet professed to be looking for Christ's coming. We spoke of the express declaration of Scripture against the wearing of gold, but she referred to where Solomon was commanded to beautify the temple and to the statement that the streets of the city were pure gold. She said that if we could improve our appearance by wearing gold so as to have an influence in the world, it was right. I replied that we were poor fallen mortals, and instead of decorating these bodies because Solomon's temple was gloriously adorned, we should remember our fallen condition and that it cost the suffering and death of the Son of God to redeem us. This thought should cause us self-abasement. Jesus is our pattern. If he would lay aside his humility and sufferings and cry, "If any man will come after me, let him please himself and enjoy the world, and he shall be my disciple," the multitude would believe and follow him. But Jesus will come to us in no other character than that of the meek, crucified one. If we would be with him in heaven, we must be like him on earth. The world will claim its own, and whoever will overcome must leave what belongs to it. Visit to Brother Abbey's, Brookfield. The next day we resumed our journey by packet and went as far as Madison County, New York. We then left the packet, hired a carriage, and rode 25 miles to Brookfield, where was the home of Brother Ira Abbey. As it was Friday afternoon when we arrived at the house, it was proposed that one should go to the door and make inquiries so that we should be disappointed in our hope of a welcome. We might return with the driver and put up at a hotel over Sabbath. Sister Abbey came to the door, and my husband introduced himself as one who kept the Sabbath. She said, "I am glad to see you. Come in." He replied, "There are three more in the carriage with me. I thought if we all came in together, we might frighten you." "I was never frightened at Christians," was the reply. Sister Abbey expressed much joy at seeing us, and we were heartily welcomed by her and her family. When Brother Bates was introduced, she said, "Can this be Brother Bates, who wrote the healing book on the Sabbath and come to see us? I am unworthy to have you come under my roof, but the Lord has sent you to us, for we are starving for the truth." A child was sent to the field to tell Brother Abbey that four Sabbath keepers had come. He was in no hurry, however, to make our acquaintance, for he had been previously imposed upon by some who had often visited them. These, professing to be God's servants, had scattered error among the little flock who were trying to hold fast the truth. Brother and Sister Abbey had warred against them for so long that they dreaded to come in contact with them. Brother Abbey feared that we were the same class. When he came into the house, he received us coldly and then began asking a few plain, direct questions as to whether we kept the Sabbath and believed the past messages to be of God. When he was satisfied that we had come with truth, he joyfully welcomed us. Our meetings in this place were cheering to the few who loved the truth. We rejoiced that the Lord in His providence had directed us that way. We enjoyed the presence of God together and were comforted to find a few who had stood firm all through the scattering time, holding fast the messages of truth through the mist and fog of spiritualizing and fanaticism. This dear family helped us on our way after a godly sort.